It's time for JT the Brick.
You want a conspiracy theory? I'll give you one. There's no way you can sit in the boardroom on Park Avenue where NFL headquarters are and say the Raiders are going to open up with two on the road against the Harbaugh brothers. What are the odds of that? You're giving us the Atlanta game on Monday Night Football at the end of December. Thanks. Really appreciate that. Now, you want to thank you, Roger? He just scoffed and mocked us. Like, you're nothing. We're nothing.
JT the Brick.
I'm defending the Raiders. You should be defending the Raiders. Very simple. Make the Raider Nation stand up. Sound off like you got a pair. It's your time now to be heard. You got a flagship station that isn't compromised up north with a baseball team going out of business and another San Francisco football team and hosts that are in the pocket. You got me at the front gates of the Raider Nation trying to help you have a voice on this. So let's roll.
And now,
Raider Nation unite!
Here's JT the Brick.
Harry Ruiz filling in for JT here today. It's always a pleasure being with you here, Raider Nation, and it's game day eve. Heck, in 24 hours and 3 minutes, because I think the ball is officially going to be kicked off at 1:05 out there in Minnesota Pacific time, the Raiders will be on the field. The Raiders will be experiencing their first kickoff with these new rules that, by the way, they're an experiment. They're not set in stone that they're going to stay that way. They're an experiment for this year. What the league wants is to have more kickoffs returned and at the same time not have as many injuries with the way that the impacts used to happen, with the way that kicking teams had a way to get to the returner in a quicker with a big time lead. They don't want injuries. They want more kickoffs. So this was the safe way to experiment. That's how it's going to go down this year. I'm excited to call my first one because, for starters, I got to explain the rule while I'm on the air and then when it happens and see how it goes down. There will not be many return for touchdowns at this in the preseason, in my opinion. The teams are going to be saving their tricks, the way that they are doing stuff in the regular season, because they don't want to give away their secrets right now. Raider Nation, 702-365-9200 is the number to call to have your voice heard, to have Raider Nation listen to you and be like, yeah, I agree with that guy, or no, I don't agree with that person, and see what's going down right now. What are your expectations? What are you excited for in this preseason? What are you nervous about? This is the moment to call. We got 1 hour left here in today's show. Me personally, I'm all about the tight ends, seeing how they are going to be taking advantage of this early in the preseason. Let's see Brock Bowers in action. Let's see DJ Glaze in action. Let's see our rookies out there on the field. We know that Dylan Lauby, I mean, he was a Swiss Army knife. Psycho D is the way that his father nicknamed him when he was a kid. And we will see the Psycho out there on the field. He was the FCS leader in total yardage for 2022 and 2023 in his time in New Hampshire. He played both with catching the ball, running the ball, special teams. He had touchdowns returned with kickoffs and with punts in his time in college. So he will be able to use it in multiple ways. And for players like him, rookies that aren't the first and second and third and fourth rounders, guys that are fifth through the seventh round, they got to earn their spot some way on a squad. And when you look at guys like MJ Devonshire, he was a difference maker as well when it came to punt returns when he was in college. When you look at a guy like Dylan Lauby, potentially Trey Taylor as well, special teams can be their way to put their foot in the door and be like, all right, let's show what we can do. And there's no better way to do it, of course, in training camp when only your coaches are looking, but that's when you put the work in. If you don't put the work in training camp, you're not going to see the field when it comes to preseason games. And when your play in practice reflects what you do on game day, that's the way that it happens. I remember listening to Devontae Adams on the receiver show on Netflix, and he said, when I catch a football during a game, it's because I've seen that ball come my way in that same play 1,000 times at practice before. I know what's coming. He's prepared for the big situation. Look at Max Crosby, same way. When it comes to practice, the man is a maniac. He wants to win every single rep. He wants to win the warm-up. He wants to win the cool-down period after practice. He wants to win everything. And I mean a maniac in a good way. That's the way that you want your players out there on the field, obsessed with winning, obsessed with the way that they play to be the best in the league, because Max Crosby ranked number 10 in the top 100 list for the NFL this year by his peers in the league. He's not satisfied. He wants to be number one. He told me that last year, and he said it again this year. Last year, I asked him about his 59 ranking in 2021. He was like, hey, I appreciate the votes, but that's not good enough. I want to be the best. Right now, 10. He's happy, but he wants more. He wants to be the best. He wants to win. And players aren't satisfied with, hey, I got all pro. I'm going to get a bonus. Hey, I got picked to the Pro Bowl. I'm going to get a bonus. Or, hey, I caught X amount of touchdown passes or got X amount of sacks or interceptions. I'm going to get a bonus. Guys like Max Crosby and Davante Adams, they want to win. They want to win no matter what. And there were games last season where Davante Adams didn't have good stats, but the team won, and that's what he wanted. And there were games that he had almost 200 yards and two touchdowns, but the team lost. The home opener against the Steelers, that was the case. He had a great game statistically, but the Raiders lost. That's not what he wants. Of course, the perfect marriage would be to have a great statistical game and a win. But if you could only pick one, I could guarantee you 10 times out of 10, both Max and Davante would say, just win, baby. I want to get that victory. I want to put my team on the right side of history. And look, what JT says all the time about the disrespect from the national media, 100% right. How many times have the Raiders ended up last place in the AFC West since they moved to Las Vegas? How many? There's always squads like the Broncos and the Chargers that underdeliver when they have high expectations. And the Raiders, they have been overachieving. Last year, 8-9, second place. The year before that, 6-11, third place. The Broncos were worse than them. 21, you had the Raiders second place, 10-7, made it to the playoffs. The year before that, 8-8, despite having the worst defense when it comes to points allowed in franchise history, second place. So you're talking about this Raiders team, while they are in Las Vegas, finishing second place in 3 out of their 4 years here in the city. Yet they get that disrespect from the national media. When was the last time that the Raiders ended up last place in their division? 2018, 4-12. That was the year that John Gruden came back, right? Because 2017 was the Jack Del Rio final year, 6-10. 2016 was the playoff year for the Silver and Black, 12-4. Same record as the Chiefs, but the Raiders went to the wild card. The Chiefs didn't. I mean, one last place in the West in the last 8 years, and yet disrespect? All right, go out there and prove everybody that you are not in that same position that you were in the way that most of the league looks at the Raiders. Heck, I remember when I used to go to Oakland, I would try to pick the games that I was like, you know what? They're going against the Browns. They should win that game. Or they're going against the Broncos. They should win that game. Or the Bengals. They should win that game. That's the way that most of the league looks at us. That's the way that most of the league looks at the Raiders because of what has gone down for most of the past 2 decades. But this should be the before and the after. The after should be right now. The way that Antonio Pierce is leading this squad is the way that I want this squad led. I want them to have player empowerment, but also have that coach that is like, hey, let's go through their whole fan base, through their whole players, and just rip a new one and have the Raiders, let them remember the day that they played the Raiders. And the way the defense has been built, the defense should deliver. The offense, they got weapons. The protection, I'm liking it. You need the quarterback to step up. And look, Aiden O'Connell, he's been taking that approach from the Tom Brady's of the world, where he had Alex Guerrero as his guy, where he was preparing and throughout the offseason that way. Max Crosby, he's working with Alex Guerrero as well. There's pros, there's cons, there's guys that love him, there's guys that don't love him. It's working for Max. Let's see if it works for Aiden O'Connell. We thought that he was going to be able to differentiate himself from Gardner Minshew to kick off training camp. There's been good days, there's been bad days. But I love what Antonio Pierce said with, hey, you know what? I didn't come into this training camp thinking that because of this practice, I was going to pick my starting quarterback. Or because of this, I was going to pick my starting quarterback right here, right now. And he gave the situations of there's days that you play with the ones, there's days that you don't play with the ones. There's days that the defense takes over and you got those scenarios being a big difference between one thing and the other. So he is now giving these guys the key to the car and be like, all right, drive us to the promised land right now. And obviously preseason, the results doesn't matter. The final score, in my opinion, doesn't matter at all. You want to get out of there healthy and you want to get out of there getting conclusions to questions that you had in your mind. And right now, the biggest question is, who is going to be starting for the Raiders on September 8th at 1 o'clock at SoFi Stadium against the Chargers? You can have the best defense in the world, but if your team don't score points, you ain't going to win. Look at last year. Raiders-Vikings, the opponent that you're going to be playing tomorrow. What was the final score? Vikings 3, Raiders nothing. The Raiders weren't able to get a single point on the scoreboard. They were shut out. They lost. Despite what a lot of people think that that game was miserable to call, I had fun calling that game. The defense played lights out. They were incredible. I had fun calling that game. I really enjoyed it. Of course, I would have preferred to win. It didn't happen. Why? Because the offense didn't deliver on their side of the ball. Now we need to get away Luke Getsy. How are you going to make a difference on this offense? In Chicago, it was a running game that moved the Bears. Yeah, they had the number one pick last year, but it wasn't because of their play. It was because the Panthers were terrible, and they got the first pick through that trade that they did with the Panthers a year prior where they got Bryce Young. The Bears, they were decent, and towards the end of the year, they were pretty good. Heck, there were folks with the Bears, Bears fans, that were asking for Justin Fields to stay with the Bears because of the way he played towards the second half of the season. Raider Nation, let's have hope. I hope that Luke Getsy can get something out of this offense. What was the prior offense for the Raiders for a year and a half? It was mostly Josh McDaniels. Yes, he had an offensive coordinator, but we all knew that Josh McDaniels was managing that offense. Then you had Bo Hardigree, somebody that never had that position in the NFL. He went from being the quarterback's coach to being the offensive coordinator. Yes, there was that game against the Chargers where you broke a record, where you were the best offense, or what the team that scored the most points in Raiders history, 63 points. But the Raiders, what, they opened the third quarter, scored a touchdown, and then never scored again. I know, you don't want to be the big bully in the yard. The twice that they scored after that was on defense. So, okay, big difference there, but the offense delivered. I remember that game, 3 touchdowns in the first quarter. It's like, where the heck was one of these last game? We would have won last game, and we would have entered the final 2 games of the season with at least a hope of making it to the playoffs. That wasn't the case, or at least enter the Indianapolis game with higher hopes of making the playoffs. Now, this Raider offense, you got a full offseason under your belt. You got a full training camp under your belt in a couple of weeks. You're going to have a full preseason under your belt, and you're going to have that time to be like, okay, you guys had your chance, let's deliver. Patrick Graham, it wasn't perfect his first year with the Raiders. It got way better his second year with the Silver and Black. It got way better once he was unchained and he was able to do whatever he wanted to do. And now he is set for this team to have one of the best defenses in the NFL. What was done in the past doesn't matter. That's a great history and stat to tell everybody that the Raiders from week 9 to week 18 last year were the best defense in the league when it comes to points per game averaged allowed. That's a great story. That's a great stat. Now, you got to be like, all right, let's take the next step, but not base our success on what we have done in the past. And this Raider squad, we haven't spoken about successful defenses in a long time. Now let's see how this unit does for the Silver and Black. The running back situation is interesting. They're going all in on Zamir White. in my opinion. Of course, yes, you got Alexander Mattison, who last year was the starter for the Vikings after Dalvin Cook was not re-signed by them, that he didn't stay on the roster. He ended up in New York and didn't do good there either. Mattison wasn't very successful with the Vikings, but it was a different offensive scheme. It was a different responsibility. Of course, when you looked over at the Vikings, they had Kirk Cousins, and when you got Cousins, you're thinking about throwing the ball 45, 50 times per game. So when you had Mattison out there in the backfield, you knew there was a good chance it was going to be a run play. Let's see how he does on that in this offense. I have more of a feeling it's going to be running back by committee this year than the prior year. When Josh Jacobs was in town, it was give Josh Jacobs a rock and let him cook. Right here, there's a good chance that Zamir White is going to get plenty of touches, but Mattison is going to get his. What about Amir Abdullah? He was the third down running back for the Raiders the last couple of years. And I remember he delivered in a couple of those scenarios, situations last season with third downs where he ended up catching the ball or running the ball when a lot of folks didn't expect him to run the ball and move the chains on third and longs. Good for him. He's also a returner. He's also had the opportunity to return footballs in the past for in the NFL from his time in Detroit and now coming over here to Las Vegas. That could be his role. Dylan Laube, will he beat out Amir Abdullah for that third running back spot, or will the Raiders carry four running backs into the season? And then you look over at fellas like Britton Brown, like Sincere McCormick. Britton Brown didn't play last year. He was injured. Let's see what the rookie out of UCLA has. Sincere McCormick, during the preseason, he's looked good, but he hasn't been able to keep a roster spot. That running back room is very, very intriguing. And then the situation with the receivers. Once the Raiders lost Michael Gallup and then Jalen Guyton was over in the PUP list, the wide receiver room was pretty thin. Once those roster moves were made, it's like, oh, okay, I mean, you do have Tay, you do have Jacoby, you do have Trey Tucker. After that, what can the Raiders look into? Christian Wilkerson, will he be able to earn his spot again with what he does during training camp and during preseason? Right now, Juju Smith-Schuster, he was just cut by the Patriots. And the funny part is, last year, the Patriots didn't re-sign or get a new contract for Jacoby Myers, and he ended up signing with Las Vegas. And then the Patriots signed for the exact amount of years and money Juju Smith-Schuster, who was coming off of a Super Bowl win with the Chiefs, and a year in, they cut their losses and they decided to let him go, to release him. So he's another option that's available, but after a couple of injuries, he hasn't looked the same since his time when he was over with Pittsburgh. So that's another situation that you got to be looking. There's always opportunities to improve your roster. And once again, for the second year in a row, there's not going to be those cut down dates where after the first game of the preseason, you got to cut down your roster from 90 to 80 and then from 80 to 70. And then you do that big cut right after the last preseason game. No, you got your full roster, 90 players, up to the Tuesday after the last preseason game. Then you got to come down to 53. And after that, there's plenty of talent all around the NFL that you might be able to make yours as a free agent. Some folks that aren't free agents are the black hole. They are silver and black for life. They are football's most notorious fans with over 40 chapters worldwide. If you're a diehard Raider fan, this is your home. New memberships come with 20% off all website purchases, exclusive member hotel discounts for home and away games, access to members-only merchandise, and much more. All memberships also are now lifetime memberships. Once a member, always a member. If you bleed silver and black, visit theblackhole.com today. That's theblackhole.com. I saw Gorilla Rilla on social media said that he's going to be at an event tomorrow in Southern California with Senor Raider with more super fans. So if you want to watch the preseason game with fellow Raider fans, visit Gorilla Rilla's social media and check him out. Let's go to a break, Raider Nation. After it, we're going to go from talking American football to soccer. Gian Leonardo Neglia, sporting director for Lights FC, will be joining us live after this break.
Very much is a competition. What happens in stadium is weighted heavier than what happens in a practice setting because it's more game-like.
Constantly looking at that part of your depth chart?
Or? I'll let you guys speculate on that.
Mike Tomlin speaking about the quarterback competition out in Pittsburgh, and of course what folks do on the field, in his opinion, has more importance than it does what happens in the practice field. But one has to come with the other, and let's see what goes down out there. There's competition out here in Las Vegas in the soccer realm because the Las Vegas Lights, they are on their hottest streak in franchise history. 10 games undefeated for the Lights. They are in a playoff spot at the moment. We still got 2 months left to go in their season, and they got their first home game in a long time and forever. They are finally back tomorrow here at Cashman Field in downtown Las Vegas. And to speak about the team, we have their sporting director, Gian Leonardo Neglia. Gian, thank you so much for joining us here in today's JT the Brick Show. How excited are you for the players to finally be able to play once again in downtown Las Vegas?
Very excited. Firstly, thanks for having me on, Harry. Appreciate it. But no, incredibly, incredibly excited. You know, I think we're out there for training today, and you can kind of sense the buzz around the guys that, hey, we got a home game tomorrow, and it's nice to be back, and especially with this nice little run of form that we're on as well.
Of course, and the beginning of the season probably wasn't what you guys wanted. It wasn't the team that was delivering the results that you wanted as often as you wanted. But right now, what changed for this squad with Denny Sanchez as a head coach, with a lot of the players that kicked off the season on the team getting that continuity that you wanted?
You know, the results weren't what we wanted, Harry, but I can't say that it was unexpected. I mean, the reality is, We started late this year. You know, Dennis was hired at the end of January. I came in the beginning of February. We had to build an entirely new roster. There was an owner change. And so, you know, in many ways, we were behind the eight ball a little bit. So we always believed in the core of this roster. There's a lot of talent. And, you know, I want to also make sure that I really single out how proud we are of these guys sticking through everything, the growing pains, and just getting out there, doing their thing, playing football, and just really starting to perform now. So, the only thing that's really changed is I think that we've gotten more familiar with each other. We've had the opportunity to get more consistent. We've gotten healthier, which has been big because we had some injuries at the beginning of the year. But, you know, we've always believed in this group of guys, and I think now people are starting to see it.
Of course, we're speaking with Gian Leonardo Neglia, the sporting director for your Las Vegas Lights FC, Las Vegas' professional soccer squad. Valentin Noel, I mean, it seems like every time that you guys have a good result, it's him either getting an assist, getting a goal. How do you guys find talent like him?
Yeah, Val's such a dynamic player for us. You know, he's one of those guys that he was at Pitt, came through the college ranks, spent last season playing it on the second team of Austin FC, and, you know, played really well for him, for them. And, you know, he was just one of those guys. He spent some time in Austin with Dennis, so there was the familiarity with the head coach. But just, you know, myself watching him, scouting him, having some of our scouts watch him as well, you see that there's raw talent there, right? And we were in a position where we were able to make the move and get the transfer across the line. And, you know, we really believed that he would be someone that, that A, could be a core group of this for this team, but just can contribute the way he has. I mean, I believe it's, what, 8 goals now, 5 assists. As you said, it seems like every time we have a positive result, his name is all over it. So he's been great for us. Real exciting young player. And we hope that he continues along this pace down the stretch for us.
Of course, it's never easy playing on with 100-degree weather, but at the same time, you haven't had a home game since June 29, so I'm pretty sure that having the fans back in the stands is going to make a big difference for the squad as well, and especially coming off of a win against New Mexico United. Going to Albuquerque is always tough. going to Albuquerque against a first place team makes it even harder. And you guys got the win out there. Those kind of victories, do they change the morale and the way that the team looks to in things?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Those are the type of wins that can really catapult the whole season, Harry. You know, we knew going in that it was obviously going to be an incredibly tough match. I mean, New Mexico has been great all year, especially at home. They hadn't lost at home all season. As you said, top of the West. But, you know, we went into that match without fear. You know, we're confident in what we have. You know, we look at this group of guys and, you know, I truthfully don't think that there's a team in the West that has a better roster than us. You know, I'm confident. You know, these guys are solid. This is a good group of guys, and I can't emphasize that enough. So, you know, to come back at home after it's four straight road games, but, you know, winning two of those, tying two of those, getting important results, we're excited to be back home. We've got, from what I'm hearing from our ticketing team here, we're going to have our highest attendance of the regular season tomorrow, which is super exciting. We're glad that the community's starting to rally and get behind us a bit, and we hope that continues. And then, hey, we got to use the heat to our advantage, right? We train in it every day, so make sure that we play to an advantage for it.
Hey, they say if you build it, they will come, and you guys right now are right in a playoff spot, and you're actually just a couple of points off from potentially even having a home game for the postseason out here in Las Vegas, which obviously with the team never making the playoffs, it has never happened, and that would bring the hype even higher. Gian, how has the experience been for you? Because you were working in the past as an assistant sporting director in Italy's Serie B, and now you're in the U.S. and USL Championship. How has this experience been for you?
It's been great. From a personal standpoint, it's been wonderful. I've been in Las Vegas now for 6 months, and I am absolutely loving it. The community has been nothing but receptive. I'm enjoying every minute of every day living here. The USL as a league is unique. You know, it's obviously a little different than what I'm used to in Europe and in Italy, but it's a league that is definitely on the rise, you know, and I think sometimes, you know, people, outsiders more than anything, will look at the USL and they'll have this, you know, minor league sort of attachment to it. And it's not the case. You know, we're fully professional. You know, we're in the second tier, obviously, but, you know, we got really good players. We've got players that play for their national team that have represented their countries in the Olympics. You know, this is some real quality soccer that we have here. And I'm enjoying the opportunity to build something here kind of from the ground up and sort of, you know, put my stamp on it, if you will, but just really proud of the group of players that we have assembled and the results that they're starting to obtain.
Gian Leonardo Neglia, the sporting director for Lights FC, is our guest here on the JT The Brick Show. You also hear the saying, put your money where your mouth is. And Jose Bautista, he did that as the owner of Lights FC, bringing you on board, bringing Denny Sanchez on board, and bringing the quality of the roster. How important has it been having Joey Batts as the owner of Lights FC right now in 2024?
Essential. He's probably the biggest reason that I take this job and that I accept this project, because, you know, in speaking with him and seeing and understanding the vision that he has for this city, for this community, for this team, it was so exciting. And as you say, you know, he backed it up, right? Like, he has given us the resources to put a real quality team on the field. He has spent the money off the field to make improvements at Cashman, you know, whether it's LED boards, whether it's, you know, maintaining a higher quality on the pitch in terms of the actual field, you know, putting in a brand new premium structure with some suites and some, you know, to just really round out the stadium. It's been, he has absolutely backed it up. And he has been just a pleasure to work with. To work for, I should say. And just, you know, that passion, that fire that he had as a baseball player, I mean, he hasn't lost any of that, Harry. He is, you know, involved on the day-to-day, and he's loving it. And it's been a really good experience. And look, this is just the beginning, right? Like, we're 6 months into this project, and we're happy with where we are and the progress that we're making right now, but in no way, shape, or form do we think we're done or close to done.
And correct me if I'm wrong, you guys have a TV deal in the Dominican Republic, right? Joey's home country? I think I saw something like that on social media, that some of the games are broadcasted out there, and you guys obviously have a Latino taste, a sabor Latino on your squad with players like Raico Arozarena, like Edison Ascona, so the raza, the Latinos, they identify a lot with you guys, and that's something amazing. Please tell the fans, tomorrow, game night at Cashman Field, 7:30, right?
Yes, sir. 7:30 at Cashman tomorrow. It's our back-to-school night as well as the promotion. Come out and support us. We're playing some real good football right now, and we're on a push here. We want to make sure that we host a playoff game this year. So it makes a difference when we've got our fans in our stadium supporting us, and just creates an incredible vibe here. So come out, check us out, keep supporting us, and we're going to keep trying to do right by you.
Hey, the first 6 years, the team was more recognized for what they did with promotions and some other stuff. Right now, this squad is playing soccer. You guys are killing it. You guys are doing a great job. Let's make it 11 games in a row. Undefeated tomorrow, Gian Leonardo. Muchas gracias. Thank you so much.
Gracias, Harry. Appreciate it, man. Talk soon.
There he goes, the sporting director for your Las Vegas Lights FC, Gian Leonardo Neglia. Tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. at Cashman Field. You can watch and listen to the Raiders game at 1 o'clock. Listen to the post-game coverage and then head over to Cashman Field when the weather cools down, or at least isn't as hot at 7:30 as it is earlier in the day. But you know what? Right now, the weather ain't that bad. I'm looking at 99, and I'm like, yeah, at least we're not triple digits. There's times of day that there's days that right now, 137, it's 117 or 110. So weather ain't that bad. I walked my dog, not like Bobby, who wakes up at 6 in the morning to walk his dog, or 7 in the morning. I woke up like at 8 o'clock to walk mine, and I was like, hey, it feels nice. Looked, 92. I was like, well, many folks around the United States see 92 and they freak out. Us, we see 92, and it's like, hey, it's nice. We're right now 99. At least it ain't triple digits. It's all about perspective. Let's talk a little bit more about Raiders football. In this soundbite, let's listen to J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback who got drafted in the first round by the Minnesota Vikings this year, and who said this, and a lot of aggregator pages just posted a little bit of the quote but didn't put it into context. Let's listen to him.
The most eager thing to see is just a vanilla defense, honestly, but out of myself, it would be just making sure the things that we harp on, all the little details, all the little intricacies that go into each and every rep, show up on game day, you know, when there's a lot of noise and there's a crowd, and just being able to lock into the level of my training that I've been doing on a consistent basis since I got here, and be able to do it when the time matters.
A vanilla defense. Folks, Raider Nation, he wasn't saying that the Raiders are a vanilla defense. He was just changing the description of going to what he's facing day to day with the Brian Flores defense over in Minnesota, and then going into a preseason game where he's not going to be seeing crazy blitzes and different formations like you are going to be seeing in a regular season game. I know a lot of you guys got irritated because you saw posts on an Instagram page or a Twitter page that just started targeting JJ. Oh, he's saying that the Raiders have a vanilla defense. If you think the Raiders have a vanilla defense, you are out of your mind. If you think that another professional player is going to be calling the Raiders defense vanilla, you are crazy. Everybody that plays football right now, or that is a fan of football, knows who Max Crosby is. And knows that when that man is on the field, or a unit that man is a part of, is going to be far from vanilla. He was just saying, they're not going to throw the kitchen sink at us. It's a preseason game. Same thing with the kickoffs. They're not going to show all their secrets and all they're working on in a preseason game. They're going to wait until week one when you return a kickoff for a touchdown, and it's actually going to make a difference in the scoreboard and potentially in your season. The difference between a playoff team and not a playoff team can be a couple of kickoffs returned for a touchdown. You think they're going to show you during the preseason what they're going to do during the regular season? No, they're doing that in practice. They're doing that at training camp. They're doing that behind closed doors. Same thing with the defense. They're not going to throw everything at you that they're going to be doing in week number 1 through 18. So chill, relax. J.J. McCarthy wasn't talking trash about the Raiders right there. I just wanted to put it out there because a lot of folks, Bobby, were going crazy on social media, but those pages, that's what they want to do. They want to get an extra like. They want to get an extra comment. They want to get an extra retweet. And they just want to just put a little bit of fire on that gas to see if it blows up and people start following them.
It's called clickbait.
Exactly.
It's a matter of people throwing bleep against the walls, hoping anything will stick. You see it in sports. You see it in politics a lot these days.
And they just put the graphic with a little bit vanilla defense. Instead of listening to the whole quote where it was like, what are you eager to do in this preseason game, or why are you eager for it? And he says it. It's like, hey, a vanilla defense, because I ain't going to be going against what I'm seeing every day with Brian Flores. And guess what? It's the same situation with Gardner and Aiden against the Vikings defense.
I just think the whole thing's amusing, personally. I get a kick out of it nowadays. What's passing for journalism or media is just clickbait bulk bleep. It's really just, it's disappointing. You put on a couple of words on a YouTube video, then you do 15 minutes of a YouTube video that don't have bleep all nothing to do with the two words that drew you in. That is called clickbait, and there's lots of it out there.
And you know what? There's people that have their YouTube channels and have thousands of subscribers and everything, and that have never set foot inside a training camp or a practice or a game as a media member. And that shows. And it's like, you just look at it and it's like they're trying to rile up people to, okay, leave me a super chat, or hey, do this, do that. I'm like, bro, if you want to do it, find a way to get yourself an internship at a radio station. Go to school for journalism. That's another way. And just find yourself a way to become a real...
A class in journalism? Are you kidding? These mother bleepers are out there teaching this crap nowadays. Are you kidding? That's what the hell they're teaching these poor kids.
It's crazy.
Journalism went out the bleeping window with Peter Jennings.
Nowadays,
Google that name.
Nowadays, they want to be an influencer. They don't want to be a journalist.
I'll tell you, not to go on a bleeping tangent on this one. What the bleep is an influencer? No. I hear all this stuff. That this girl is an influencer. Unless she takes her top off, she isn't influencing me to do anything. I don't know what you're supposedly influencing. You know, you get some jabroni on like Instagram going, hey, I like this drink. And then you run out and drink it and you find out it tastes like, you know.
So an influencer can get their money either from a sponsor that they're like, hey, here, use this link and go and buy whatever, whatever. And then they'll get a cut off of a payment.
You know what? I'm sorry. Yeah. I hate to interrupt. We got to go to break, but I got to throw this thing out there. you know how effed up this world is? I'm going to throw this one out at you. There's a judge in Ohio that ruled yesterday. Get this. This is no lie. Ruled yesterday that boneless chicken wings, don't have to have bones in them.
Huh?
I said boneless chicken wings do not necessarily have to have no bones in them. In other words, it's okay to have a little bit of bone matter in a boneless chicken wing.
Hell no. No bones.
This is how effed up this world is nowadays.
This world is going crazy.
So just enjoy the ride. It is what it is.
We're here, and I am happy that finally football is back tomorrow. So let's go to a break. We'll come right back to wrap up today's JT the Brick Show. One final chance, Raider Nation, 702-365-9200. This show is presented by Grimaldi's Pizzeria, hands down my favorite pizza in Las Vegas. Summerlin, on the Strip, Southwest Las Vegas, Green Valley, they're everywhere. Grimaldi'sPizzeria.com. Visit that website for more.
What is that mantra? What is that motto for the 2024 Raiders?
Yeah. Well, if I don't want to go that far. If I can stay in training camp, for right now, for us, is you two. You squared. I saw these guys, man, you know, most times say you plus you. No, you times you. Does that make sense? I need to see more out of you. You know, let's stop taking these baby steps. I know everybody says, go through the process. How about we take that leap? Mm-hmm. How we make a true leap to that next step, right? Even when we used to run stairs when we trained, right? We hit every stair. Ooh. And every once in a while, when you start skipping them bad boys, you felt a different burn, right? It made you uncomfortable. created a little anxiety. I said, listen, man, I want our team to get used to being uncomfortable. I want us to not be afraid to make those leaps and bounds, because being average for so long is old.
Yeah.
It's old, and we're done with it. We're done with it.
Being comfortable, being uncomfortable is what Antonio Pierce wants his team to do, and stop being average. You got to take that leap. You got to be great. You got to make a difference on that field. And now let's go from football to the Olympics, because let's start off with France. The host country is going to be playing in the men's basketball finals.
Wemby got the space. Oh! Victor Wembanyama. Poster time.
Victor Wembanyama and France defeat Germany 73-69. Germany, a team that a lot of folks thought was going to be the most difficult task for Team USA. Well, they're out now, and it's going to be France taking on Team USA. But yesterday, the now dream team, or whatever you want to call this version of it, Adam Hill thinks this team is more talented or better than the one from 92. I don't think so. They had a hard task with Serbia. Nikola Jokic, man. A monster.
Jokic inside, floats it up, in and one. Nikola Jokic in MVP form in Paris.
17 points, 11 assists, 5 rebounds. Serbia was up by 17 points against Team USA. But Team USA got hot towards the end of the game, led by the chef, Steph Curry.
Curry for the lead.
Steph Curry moment.
32 for Steph Curry.
He ended up with 36, second most amount of points scored by a U.S. Olympian in the men's side, 1 point behind Carmelo Anthony and LeBron James. He put the final nail in Serbia's coffin.
James, the rebound, looking to run. Booker and Durant with him. James. America put the country on his back.
16 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists. USA 95, Serbia 91. They needed all of what LeBron James, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant, three former MVPs, could give them to beat the current MVP in Nikola Jokic. So tomorrow is going to be fun. The finals in the Olympics men's basketball, USA versus France. On the women's side, the U.S. beat Australia 85-64, and France is beating Belgium at the moment. So it might be USA versus France, both in the men's and the women's side. Let's talk some baseball, and let's kick it off with the San Diego Padres, because they are one of the hottest teams right now in the major leagues.
In the air to deep right center field. Bay was shallow. He's got to go back. It's going to be over his head and rolling up against the wall. Higashioka scores easily. An RBI double for Arise. And the Padres add on. It's 7-5.
And you can hear the Boo Birds here in Pittsburgh. And you can't blame them. It's been a complete disaster for Bednar lately.
The Padres beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 7-6, and now the Padres, five-game winning streak. They're only 2.5 games back from the Dodgers for the divisional lead. And the Diamondbacks, they're right behind them, 3.5. So if there were Dodger fans that wanted competitive baseball in August and in September, it's happening, folks. The Milwaukee Brewers, they are hot. They are still the leaders in the National League Central.
He makes the catch. And the Brewers dominate the Braves here this afternoon, 16-7. And for the first time since 2016, Milwaukee has swept Atlanta on the road.
How about that? The Braves are now outside of a playoff spot at the moment after getting completely demolished by Milwaukee yesterday. So will the Braves miss the playoffs? That would be interesting. A lot of folks thought they were going to be big-time competition. And the Mets, they are the complete opposite of the Braves. They are right now in a wild card spot.
Swung on and crushed way out to left center field. Hillier's just a spectator as this one goes halfway up the seats and left. Number two this afternoon for Pete Alonso, and it's a 5-0 Mets lead in the third.
9-1 win. Pete Alonso, two home runs, 61-54 for the Mets. Yes, they are 8 games back of the Phillies, but they are in a wild card spot at the moment. By the way, the final game at the Coliseum, sold out for the Oakland A's. Now there's the potential of the giveaway being given away as the fans leave the stadium because they want to get them out. They don't want to have them in there as long as possible, just celebrating baseball. They want to get them out of the Coliseum. Well, that's pretty weird. Raider Nation, that's it. Q Myers is coming up next with Unnecessary Roughness. The coverage of Raiders-Vikings starts tomorrow at 11 a.m. with the pregame show. Kickoff at 1 o'clock on the Spanish side, 1468 a.m. Mayra Gomez and myself starting at noon. Have a great day, Raider Nation. Have a great weekend. Raider football is almost back.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.